number one fantasy quarterback this year.
Whoa, bomb. Austin bomb. Let's go. Yeah.
Welcome to this episode of the Undrafted Free Agents Podcast, a show where two guys who never made it playing football talk about football. Here are your hosts, Austin Gregory and Nick Cougas.
And welcome back to the UDFA pod, episode number 7 now, which is pretty crazy. We're continually chugging along here. Nick and I are back from Utah. What a trip that was. Really, really enjoyable, except for the 11.5-hour car ride on the way home on Monday. But we survived. Nick and I both got to see the Grand Canyon for the first time in our life. Both got to go to Zion National Park for the first time in our life. Nick, how you doing? We haven't seen each other in 2 days, so.
Yeah, what's up? I mean, Utah, what a fun trip. I mean, getting to see parts of the world like that, like the Grand Canyon and Zion National Park, two beautiful places, absolutely beautiful places that we haven't got to see before, and just getting to see them really kind of, I don't know, kind of changed your perspective a little bit of how you look at the world. I know we're kind of maybe stuck to how life is here and there, but, you know, seeing things like that is just pretty incredible, so I'm glad we got to do that.
Yeah, and it was truly quite the experience, and that's for sure. But with that being said, we are going to get into things right away here, and we do actually have some football news to talk about today, which is, of course, nice. We'll give us some things to talk about, and then we will get to our segments like usual. We'll be doing player by number again this week, 11 through 20. We'll be doing our favorite Snapchat game, and then we'll kind of see if we have time for a couple of our other segments. But first things first, we're going to talk about most recent news of the NFL, the first being the biggest, which would be, in my opinion, the biggest, which is the Cowboys will be returning as a team for Hard Knocks for the third time in the history of the show, dating back to 2001 when the Ravens were the first team, when Shannon Sharpe and Ray Lewis were on the team. Iconic clip from that. And so, obviously, you know, Nick and I did pay a lot of attention to Hard Knocks last year, as you know, Nick is a Rams fan, and I, you know, wanted to just see clips of them practicing at CLU, if I'm being honest. So obviously we know how my feelings are, just with biases of this being the Cowboys once again. But just for me, you know, looking at this, there's a couple reasons why I don't like that it's the Cowboys. And there's reasons I understand that it is the Cowboys. And I don't know the exact ruling, but I know there's some kind of rules behind the selection process for each team. But this will be the third time, as I mentioned, with the Dallas Cowboys being the team featured on Hard Knocks, which for me, I think is really stupid. I think, you know, I understand, you know, they have these rules and stuff, and they, you know, they know that the Cowboys are going to sell the show, obviously being, you know, the quote-unquote America's team, thanks to Jerry Jones and everything he's done. But I think, you know, they should, you know, do different teams. You know, we don't want to see the same team for a third time. Put a team on there that, you know, is going to follow all the rules and, you know, is going to be interesting to watch. The first team that came to mind for me was the Jacksonville Jaguars, because who wouldn't want to see Urban Meyer in his first year as NFL head coach, Trevor Lawrence, number one overall pick, and then Tim Tebow making his return to the NFL. Just for me, Nick, I think that just Jacksonville alone would have been, you know, a little bit more intriguing in terms of watchability, if, you know, rather than, you know, HBO going for the sellability, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Jacksonville obviously is a very intriguing situation there. But I did, in fact, look into the rules and prerequisites for being on Hard Knocks, and they kind of rule out Jacksonville. The prerequisites are, there's three of them. So so to be on Hard Knocks, like, there's no teams, there should be no teams who were in the playoffs in the last two seasons. There's no teams for the first-year head coach, so that rules out Jacksonville, even though it'd be a great just situation to look at and analyze. But unfortunately, that rules them out. But then also no teams which have been featured on Hard Knocks in the last 10 years, which is another kind of one that seems to be kind of bypassed, because we've seen the Rams on it and like two times in like 3-4 years. So I think these rules aren't like too enforced, because I think, like I said, the Rams were in the playoffs, like, I think the year before they were on this last year. But yeah, just I would love to see, like, the Jacksonville Jaguars or Urban Meyer. I understand why they have this protection And for them, I guess if you're a first-year coach, like the last thing you need is another distraction. But yeah, I agree. I think Jacksonville would have been amazing to see with Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer there. Other teams that do fit these prerequisites that I would like to see are the Cardinals, you know, in a kind of a make-or-break year for Kingsbury. And Kyler and, you know, Hopkins, they have all this talent now. And J.J. Watt coming in would have been cool to see on that show, as well as the Giants, too. Giants now have a second-year coach, so they would be fit for that. And, you know, Joe Judge is a guy we both are intrigued by. I know you are very well because you're a Giants fan, but I think he's a good coach and would have made for some good TV. But it's another situation where the quarterback is in, like, a prove-it year, so it would be kind of cool to see how Daniel Jones approaches his offseason. Does all that stuff, and then the Panthers as well, you know, getting Sam Darnold now, that would have been kind of cool to see. Like, all situations where quarterbacks are put in places to kind of take their team to the next step, and if not, you know, who knows. So just teams with a little bit of adversity, controversy behind them are obviously good fits. So I like the Cowboys. I like Dak coming back from that injury, got his contract, so to see how he approaches being, like, the Cowboys' main man. I don't know, how much did he get paid?
More than he deserves, in my opinion. But I think it's I think he's getting around $40 million a
year. Yeah, so he's getting paid $40 million a year now, so he's got to just be the man now. I know he already was there, but he's really just got to take that next step and be more of the leader that the Cowboys have seen out of him. And just, you know, the Cowboys are a team that you as well as I know are looked at and analyzed more than any other team in the league. Very criticized team, so kind of to see how they handle that adversity and criticism, you know, behind their closed doors is going to be cool to see, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, like I said, it's about the sellability at this point. I definitely think, you know, it's going to be a matter of HBO, you know, wanting to make money at this point. And there are plenty of teams who I think could have fit this mold, you know, that would have been cool to watch. You know, if they are following the 10-year rule, then, you know, it rules out the Raiders, but the Raiders in Vegas would be another cool team. But like you mentioned, I do have something pulled up in front of me. Rams were on in 2016 before they were on last year.
Yeah.
The Bengals were on in both 2009 and 2013. The Cowboys were on 2002 and 2008. So I don't know what the exact rules are with everything, but
I think the only rule that's really enforced the most is the first-year head coach rule, which makes sense because those guys probably need less distractions as possible. So I think that's the only kind of rule that they try to enforce because, like you said, like there's been plenty of teams have been on twice in a 10-year period, and I think there's been some that have been in the playoffs a year or two before as well. So, yeah, that's kind of how the rules are working, in my opinion, and just you can kind of see it happening that way too. So,
yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, we were listening to it might have been Colin Cowherd or MacDuck Sports Radio when we were on our way back on Monday, and they were talking about Hard Knocks and how I think there's something else that, like, a team also can't, like, decline at a certain point if they're selected to be the team. So I think that's another reason why the Cowboys are in there. I think another team that would have been great would be the Chicago Bears to see the situation that's going on with Justin Fields and also Matt Nagy being heavily ridiculed after last season with the Bears. And, you know, just another team that I think would have fit pretty well.
Yeah, that would have been cool, yeah, because I know Justin Fields has been very highly praised in his mini camps and OTA so far. Just to kind of see where that buzz is coming from, to see the hype behind that would have been cool for sure.
Yeah, and I think it definitely would have been interesting. And there's, you know, there's plenty of teams that I think would fit this mold, but obviously it's been decided. It's been very interesting. You know, I'm curious to see if the Cowboys are going to have any inner team practices scheduled in the preseason, because it's always cool to see that stuff on Hard Knocks. So obviously, you know, that's where we saw the infamous clip of D-Hop and I think it was Josh Norman, I want to say, in preseason. And, you know, it's same with the Giants. It would have been cool this year because I know the Giants have preseason workouts set up with, I think, at least two or three teams. So, you know, it's just cool to see, you know, stuff that, because usually always something goes down in those inner team practices.
Yeah.
No matter what happens, it just goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
So I think that would have been something cool to see too.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that because I think the Cowboys, like always, I think they're having their training camp in Irvine, like they always do. or I think it's Irvine or
Oxnard.
Oxnard. So yeah, it'll be, I guess, in California, if they're doing that, which I assume they are. And if I'm not mistaken, they are going to have some practices with the Rams too. So I guess we're going to see the Rams again, in some, maybe some of those clips with the practices with the Cowboys. But yeah, I didn't even realize that the Cowboys are going to be in California while they're doing training camp. So that's going to be kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah, but like we said, it's set in stone at this point, and there's not really much else to do about it. But there are, in both of our opinions, clearly a lot of other teams that we think would have been better suitors for Hard Knocks this year. But moving on to our next thing, something that seems to be almost old news at this point because it's happened so many times, and that is Josh Gordon submitting a request to be reinstated once again, which I want to say this is now the third time he's submitted to be reinstated into the NFL after being suspended for substance abuse. So my first question to you, Nick, is do we think Josh Gordon can finally make it past this?
I mean, just looking at the history, just based on the history, you got to think that he can't do it because, listen, this is the guy that's been suspended 6 times. 5 times were for substance abuse. So every time this happens, it just kind of feels like he's going to do it again. And you hope the best for him. Whenever he comes back, you hope he can get past whatever addiction he has. And he has been getting help. I think it was the Cleveland Browns Hard Knocks or some other kind of just docuseries, like mini docuseries that kind of highlighted his addiction. But he has, this is a guy that gets help for this and is really trying to get over this, but he just seems to, regress all the time. But yeah, suspended 6 times, 5 for substance abuse. He is going to try to get reinstated again. And the NFL has randomly drug tested Gordon in the past 3 months, and he's passed them, which is why he's able to go through with this, another reinstatement here. But, you know, this is a guy that's insanely talented. This is a guy that led the NFL in receiving yards in 2013 on an abysmal Browns team. So that was just kind of like a wow. Like a Brown is leading the NFL in receiving yards. That's how talented this guy is. I don't even remember who was throwing the ball to him, but I don't think he was that great of a quarterback. But, you know, since then, he's in the 7 seasons since then, he's played in only 33 games, missing 79 because of all these suspensions. And he last played in December of 2019 with the Seahawks. So, I mean, this is a guy that's bouncing around and just truly trying to find a team and just stay with them and be healthy. And not healthy, I don't want to say healthy, but just, you know, be disciplined and be able to stay in the league for, you know, following substance policies. But, yeah, I mean, the marijuana seems to get to him. And, you know, as Stephen A. Smith says, stay off the weed. And I guess just Josh Gordon can't do that. So until he can do that, I think we're going to keep seeing the same cycle. But I really hope the best for him. I think he's a good guy. He just needs the help that he's seeking. And I really hope he finally gets it together.
Yeah, and I mean, I think most NFL fans would love to see Josh Gordon back in NFL uniform, you know, putting on a show out there like we know we can. But like Stephen A. Gugas said over there, he's got to stay off the weed if he wants to be successful. So, you know, obviously it's only time will tell at this point, and we'll see if he even gets reinstated. But I think, you know, like you said, those 3 tests he's taken and passed all of them, something that's really big for him to be able to come back. But, you know, we don't know at this point, and it's really up to Josh Gordon if he wants to continue to play football or if he wants to continue to not be able to play football.
Yep.
But in terms of wide receiver, there was more wide receiver news, which I thought was kind of surprising when I saw this come out, and that is N'Keal Harry, former first-round wide receiver out of ASU, Pac-12 boy of the New England Patriots, requested to be traded after just 2 years into his career with New England, which was very surprising to me for a couple of reasons. One, Harry hasn't even played 2 full years. He was plagued with injuries in year one, and so it hindered his rookie season. And obviously, you know, he was a little bit of seen as a surprise when the Patriots took him. I believe it was 32nd overall, yeah, in the first round. And since then, he's been, you know, as average as they can be. It's not like he's bad or anything. And I don't know if, you know, he doesn't like the system Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick has in place. But I also feel like it's a bad look if you're asking to be traded from the, if not the one of the greatest NFL head coaches of all time's team, when you're only 2 years into your career.
Yeah, I agree. And you're right. This was the 32nd overall pick in 2019. And you're right, the injuries kind of limited his first season there. I think he played 7 games his rookie season, and he only caught 12 passes for, I think it was 105 yards and a pair of touchdowns. And last season, he did play more games. He played in 14 of them, which he caught 33 balls for just about 300 yards. So just not really a productive guy so far in his two-year career. And his agent has just came out and kind of talking for him and said that they put out a big statement saying that they would like him to be traded. But yeah, it's really kind of been unfortunate for him. I think that this is a very talented guy. I remember him coming out of ASU in the draft. This is a guy I kind of liked. And wouldn't have minded the Rams taking, as we kind of always need that, you know, that wide receiver deep threat, that big guy on the outside. But yeah, the Patriots just added Aguilar and Kendrick Bourne in free agency, which is kind of pushing N'Keal Harry further down that depth chart. So it looks like he's going to be kind of set to compete for like the number 4 or 5 wide receiver role behind those players, as well as Jacoby Myers, who led the team last year in receptions with 59 on around 700.5 receiving yards. So, I mean, I think this is a guy that if he just put the effort in and was able to stay healthy, he could be the wide receiver one. But just the Patriots seem to be it seems to be a mutual divorce here, as the Patriots are adding these receivers in free agency, and he's kind of falling down that depth chart. So I really don't know what's going to happen with this or in what kind of compensation the Patriots can get for him, but this is a guy that I still think has great football in him. If he goes somewhere else, I can see a team like, I don't know, maybe the Seahawks, or I don't know, any team that really needs a receiver right now. I would definitely pull the trigger and try to get N'Keal Harry. Just kind of a situation thing right now. He doesn't want to be in New England, but we're kind of waiting for more details with that. But that has just come out in these past couple of days.
Yeah, and it's really just up in the air at this point, because, you know, we're not going to know what's going to happen, and it's pretty crazy that, you know, for me that he's asking for a trade already at this point in his career. But again, it's just another situation of only time will tell. Like you said, it is very recent news, so we'll see if anything happens in terms of trading. I'm sure if they don't find a trade, he won't be on that Patriots roster, because I'm sure Belichick won't stand for any of that.
Yeah.
But the next and last part of the NFL news since we've gotten last week is that Trevor Lawrence finally signed his rookie contract. 4 years, $36 million, if I'm not mistaken, 36 point something million, with $27 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
Which is obviously nice. Obviously, nobody was expecting him not to sign his deal. It's just a matter of when at this point. But what we are going to do is kind of predict how Trevor Lawrence's career is going to play out, because I know you have a very interesting take on Trevor Lawrence's career. So that's why I kind of want to talk about it. But kind of, you know, walk through, you know, talk about, you know, how many Pro Bowls we think he's going to win. Obviously, he was both of our picks that win Offensive Rookie of the Year this year. Do either of us think, you know, he's going to be MVP at any point in his career? Do we see him winning Super Bowls at any point in his career as well? But I'll pass it to you first to kind of give us the take you have on the career path for Trevor Lawrence in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, first things first, this rookie deal, this $36.8 million with $24.1 million guaranteed, I think that is the biggest rookie quarterback contract since the CBA rule change, which doesn't allow more than a 5-year, $65 million contract for rookies. So Trevor Lawrence is going to be making $36.8 million on this contract. And put that into perspective, Joe Burrow, who got drafted last year, got a $36.1 million fully guaranteed. Mayfield in, well, I think it was 2018, whenever he got drafted, got 32.68. Kyler Murray got 35.65. So this is the biggest rookie contract deal we've seen since that rule change. But yeah, kind of predicting where Trevor Lawrence is going to kind of end up and find his place in the NFL. His rookie year, I'm predicting that he gets around 3,900 to 4,000 passing yards, 25 touchdowns, and around 13 interceptions with like a 66-point-something completion percentage, which, you know, is average, especially being a Jacksonville Jaguar. Those are pretty good numbers for any kind of quarterback that we've seen play recently. But, you know, career-wise, I think this is a guy capable of making a bunch of Pro Bowls. Like, this is one of the best quarterback prospects we've seen ever coming out of college. So the ceiling is extremely high for him. But I know you mentioned I have kind of a hot take on him. This kind of relates to his dad coming out and saying that he doesn't need football and stuff like that. It just kind of makes me question Trevor Lawrence's love for the game and passion. I do think that he may not need football in his life. You know, he's married already. He's got a lot going for him. But, you know, my hot take, which I've told you before, is that he will retire before the age of 30, kind of similar to Andrew Luck. And I'm gonna stand by that, and I'm going to see if that happens. And if it does, you know, 10 years from now, we'll come back and say I told you so. But, yeah, that's kind of my hot take with Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, and that's not even Nick's weekly hot take either. So we're going to get two weekly hot takes from the good guy over there this week. And, you know, it's a very valid point that you make, and it's just funny enough that he is the best quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck. And so, you know, I think it's going to be very interesting. I think it's going to be very – I don't think it's going to be very difficult for him to win a Super Bowl, but I don't think it's going to be as difficult as people think it's going to be, because, you know, Jacksonville does have, you know, a decent amount of talent right now. Plenty of guys on the offensive side of the football. Obviously, with Trevor Lawrence, we saw with James Robinson this past season, undrafted free agent rookie. There you go. And yeah. Obviously, bringing in Marvin Jones Jr., DJ Chark is one hell of a wide receiver as well. And then LaVisca Chenault Jr. coming into year two has a very, very high ceiling as well.
He's got his running back, too.
Yeah, and he's got Travis Etienne, who we don't really know what the situation is going to be with him. Urban Meyer said he was going to be lining up as a wide receiver in OTAs, so not really sure how that's going to play out. And then on the defensive side of the football, they have Josh Allen, Miles Jack as well out of UCLA. So definitely plenty of talent on the defensive side of the football as well. So I think it's definitely going to be kind of interesting how it plays out. I do think he's going to be a multiple-time Pro Bowl quarterback. I do think he's going to put up some great numbers in year one. And I do see him winning an MVP at some point in his career. But I think that Super Bowl is definitely going to be something that's going to be a large mission for him to accomplish in his career.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, we all know that the NFL is a quarterback-driven league. I'm just looking a few years ago at the Chiefs. You know, in 2016, 2015, this is a team, 2014 maybe, that was just terrible. I think they were 2-14, just looking down. And, you know, they get Alex Smith, they kind of turns things in the right direction, and then they draft this generational quarterback in Patrick Mahomes, who just changes the entire franchise. When you look at the Chiefs now, you think of a powerhouse, you think of the best team in the league, and that's all because of Mahomes. So if you draft the right quarterback, you draft the right guy, you can turn any franchise around. So Jacksonville definitely can be one of those teams if Trevor Lawrence pans out to be what we think he's going to be. I think they have enough of a supporting cast around him right now to be successful right now, maybe not as successful as the Chiefs. But I think he definitely could be the guy to turn a franchise around. And who knows, maybe we'll be talking about the Jags, you know, being a contention for the AFC or the whole NFL in the few years, which we're going to have to see on that. But, yeah, Trevor Lawrence, if anyone, is the guy that can turn a franchise around. But, yeah, a lot of pressure on him, a very high ceiling. So we're going to check him to see if that, you know, comes into play and it just turns out to be true. So I think he, like you said, I think he's got it in him. I think he can win MVP as well. Again, it's just a waiting game. He's never taken an NFL snap before, so we're going to have to see.
Yeah, and once again, only time will tell. And, you know, we are approaching our halfway point here, but before we do get into our ad break, we came up with another weekly segment. It's going to be our question of the week. Nick and I are both coming up with a question for one another, and I'll go ahead and ask you my question first. My question also could lead into a new segment that could occur on our podcast here. And my question is to you. It's inspired by an Instagram post I saw, which could create, you know, a new segment of NFL redrafts for us. And my question is to you, you know, as our resident Ram fan, looking back at that inevitable 2016 franchise-changing draft, which obviously, you know, changed the future of the Rams organization, bringing in Jared Goff, but also trading away a large number of picks, which turned into some decent talent, one of which was Derrick Henry for the Tennessee Titans, the other which was Corey Davis for the Tennessee Titans. As you mentioned before, you know, you wanted Corey Davis to be a Ram coming out of the draft, and, you know, just ironically enough, he was drafted by the Rams draft pick that belonged to Tennessee. So my question is to you, look, it's kind of a two-parter. Looking back at that 2016 draft class, my first question to you is, there's two guys who are, well, really three guys, but there's two guys who I know for you would be big standouts in this draft class. So if you're going back, obviously you're not taking Goff in this situation.
Yeah.
Are you taking number one overall Dak Prescott or Jalen Ramsey?
Hindsight's 20/20. I think I had a friend send me the same post I think you're talking about, and he was like, imagine if we took Dak. He's another Rams fan. He says, imagine if we took Dak with the number one overall pick. I'm like, that would have been sick. That would have been, you know, franchise changing. But, you know, hindsight's 20/20. No one kind of thought Dak would be the quarterback he is, being the best quarterback coming out of that draft class. But 100%, I would have taken Dak Prescott if I knew what I knew now. Not even a question, I would take Dak. It's funny that Jalen Ramsey was number two on that post to the Eagles. But that's a guy we somehow acquired anyways. So it's kind of hard to say I would draft him at number one, even though I love the guy. I think he's the best quarterback in the league. But, you know, quarterback is what runs the NFL and what wins you Super Bowls. And if I knew what I knew now about Dak, I think that's what you're asking. I'm looking back now. If I knew nothing, it's kind of hard to say. I mean, Goff and Wentz were the right picks for the time. Those are the undisputed top two picks. But if I knew now what I knew back then in 2016 and I was Jeff Fisher, I'm 100% taking Dak Prescott.
Yeah, and it's really an interesting one. And then my second question in terms of this draft is, obviously, we are in 2021, and you know what's happened since then. As a Rams fan, do you regret the trade and giving away all those picks to get Goff now that, you know, Goff obviously took the team to the Super Bowl, unfortunately lost, and is now no longer part of the Rams organization?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, he, like you said, he did take us to the Super Bowl, and, you know, we were a player or two away from winning that game and having a ring there. So, you know, if Goff was able to, it's an infamous play in that Super Bowl where he missed a wide open Brandon Cooks downfield in the end zone. Who knows, that might have been the game winner, which puts us over the edge there and gives us a ring. And in that case, I wouldn't regret it at all. But looking at it now, I mean, he did win us playoff games and bring us to that Super Bowl. But we had nothing to show for it now except for a bunch of, you know, lost picks. We traded the farm away to get him. And we also just traded the farm away to give him away too. So it's kind of hard to say I wouldn't regret it. But, you know, again, this is a pick that hindsight, again, is 20/20. No one kind of thought that Goff would be, I don't want to say bad, but Goff had a very high ceiling as well. People thought that he was the most NFL-ready quarterback. Was going to be a pretty good, you know, star quarterback in this league. And he never was really was considered a star. He was considered good, I'd say, at his best points. But, you know, I guess I regret it a little bit. But thank God for our general manager, Les Snead, has been able to draft well in the later rounds, which has made up for that incredibly. If we weren't able to draft well like that, it would have put our franchise back, you know, years. But we've been able to draft well and kind of put a band-aid on that. But I guess I can say I regretted it a little bit because we didn't win. If we won, then I would have not regretted it and I would have loved it. But
yeah, and it's definitely something, you know, that's hard to consider. You know, you can always, we always go back and look and see, you know, what could have our teams taken instead. I know in that redraft I was just looking at, it had my Giants taking Derrick Henry at 10, in which the draft we took Eli Apple at 10. There's also the case scenario where we took the mighty Eric Flowers at 9 right before your Rams took Todd Gurley at 10. So, you know, it's always a case scenario of really, you know, you never know what's going to happen. Draft guys, you know, Brady is a prime example in the NFL. For me personally, Henrik Lundqvist is a prime example in the NHL. 7th round, 250th overall pick. Now seen as one of the greatest goaltenders of all time. You know, when they redraft that draft class, he's the number one overall pick as a goaltender. So it's pretty, you know, crazy in terms of what happens with drafts, but you never really know, and you can always, you know, say, oh yeah, I wish we did this, but it's always about, like you said, who's seen as the most NFL ready at that time. It's also a large reason why the Giants took Andrew Thomas at left tackle last year rather than Jedrick Wills and Tristan Wirfs. So Mekhi Becton. So it's really just, you know, a matter of who a team sees is the right fit at that moment in time.
Yeah, 100%. That's the beautiful thing about the draft is you can get gems like this any round, any pick of the whole entire draft. You know, 7th round, 6th round, any of these rounds, 8 rounds, you can find these gems that can be franchise cornerstones. So it's really the beauty of the NFL draft and just the the leverage and the importance of a good scout team. And not even that. I mean, sometimes you just get lucky. You get lucky with the pick. A guy that maybe you didn't have that high of a grade on, you draft him in the late round, turns out to be a star or a franchise player. So yeah, it's really incredible sometimes what the draft can give you when you're not expecting it. So, yeah, hindsight is 20/20. It's kind of the moral of this segment in this question. But, yeah, definitely Goff was the right pick for the Rams at the time. But, yeah, Dak, I would have loved at one, obviously. But I'm sure every other NFL team would have loved Mahomes at number one overall in that year too. So that's kind of where that is.
But, yeah, I now return it to you for your question for me this week.
100%, yeah. I mean, my question isn't, you know, draft-related, redraft-related, but my question of the week for you is coming from the NFC West, not my Rams, however. It is this the year that Cliff Kingsbury finally shows that he is, in fact, the offensive genius that people thought he would be? And if not, and the Cardinals miss the playoffs again, is he fired?
Yeah, and I think it's definitely a good question and a really interesting one. I personally am not really that big of a fan of Cliff Kingsbury, just because, well, for one, you know, he's the reason Josh Rosen's NFL career has really gone in the garbage.
Yeah.
Obviously, by taking Kyler Murray number one overall, but also I wasn't too big on him in his college days. Obviously, he was a big part of Mahomes at Texas Tech, and then if I'm not mistaken, I think he was supposed to take either a job with either Oklahoma or USC right before he became the Cardinals head coach.
I think it was USC.
So I don't like USC at all, but I don't like that kind of duking stuff. It's almost, it reminds me of the situation when DeAndre Jordan signed for the Mavs and then he didn't sign for the Mavs. And then he ended up being a Mav like a couple of seasons later. Mm-hmm. So I've never really been too fond of the guy, but this is definitely the year that he needs to prove it. He's been very, very heavily outcoached by the two other offensive masterminds, young offensive masterminds in the NFC West, and obviously the veteran head coach in Pete Carroll up in Seattle. So I think this is finally the year that they need to make a run in the playoffs to either even for him to be considered their coach, because, you know, all four NFC West teams can make the playoffs this year. We've mentioned this before. I've seen it on a couple different Instagram posts that it's very highly possible, but for me, even if they just make the playoffs, that's not good enough for me with Cliff Kingsbury. He's finally made the playoffs, but if he's not winning a playoff game, then I don't know exactly what it is. And, you know, if I'm not mistaken, their first round pick, Zaven Collins, of this year's draft class is already in some criminal trouble, which is obviously not a good sign. Defense is what's been their issue. Obviously, as known on this podcast, I'm not a fan of Kyler Murray either.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, it is time that, you know, they prove to themselves that it's either Cliff Kingsbury or it's somebody else. Bruce Arians was heavily ridiculed before he was fired, and Bruce Arians just got to hang out on boats, pop champagne, and celebrate a Super Bowl trophy with Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. So I think that, you know, it's time for Kingsbury to prove himself. He's in the same situation as Daniel Jones is in New York right now. I think it's his final chance to kind of prove himself and really show that he's the guy for that franchise. And I think, you know, if you can't figure out with, like you said, all the talent Arizona has right now between Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, J.J. Watt, and they have great veteran presence coming in. I don't know exactly if Larry Fitzgerald has announced his retirement, but they have A.J. Green, who's coming as a veteran wide receiver. They have, you know, Buda Baker, great young safety. And so I think, you know, it's a matter of time that Cliff proves that the Cardinals are going to be this offensive juggernaut that they're supposed to be with him coming in as their head coach. And I think, you know, if they don't win a playoff game this year, if I'm the Arizona Cardinals GM and ownership, I'm kicking Cliff Kingsbury out of his franchise.
Yeah, you know, I kind of agree with you. I just wanted to ask you to see what you think of that and where you're coming from. And I agree with all you said. I mean, this is one of the most, if not the most, competitive divisions in football. And that kind of, and just the fact that he could be, you know, fired if he doesn't make the playoffs. If he's like 8-9 or like 9-8 and then miss the playoffs, he can still be fired. Just what it shows you how competitive that division is, and like that all four teams are capable and have the talent of making the playoffs, and all four can make the playoffs this year with the new playoff format with seven teams. It just shows you how competitive that division is and all the talent that they have in that division and on the Cardinals. You're going to need the right guy to bring you to the playoffs and take you over that hump that they seemingly haven't been able to get over with Kingsbury. But, yeah, the talent is all there, and they just need to get over that hump and win some playoff games, because this is – I think Kingsbury indeed is on the hot seat, and if they can't get that done, then I agree he should be definitely considered to be fired and try to find someone else that can maybe get them over that hump for sure.
Yeah, so if I'm being honest, Cliff, I hope you don't figure it out, but figure it out.
Yeah.
And with that being said, we are going to go out into our ad break here and hear from ourselves as we speak on our sponsor once again, Anchor. And we'll be right back after this short break. And welcome back. Thank you again to our sponsors, Anchor, as they continue to support us in our building of this podcast and building of our audience and just allowing Nick and I to distribute to so many different platforms and really just allow us to enjoy the comfortability of just putting out a podcast. But with that being said, as promised last week, we will be consistent and we will be going to our second part of our installation of best player by number, which will take us to 11 through 20 this week. Very heavily flooded by the wide receiver position. A lot of honorable mentions here. There are only one number I think that there's a clear favorite. We are not going to, you know, go into our super in-depth explanations. As you know, Nick and I have a little bit of a different system for putting players in here. I like to use positional value for players here. But with that being said, we'll go ahead and get right into number 11, which would normally be an easy selection, but due to jersey number changes, it's not. But I do have my selection, and I have a good feeling that you might have the same answer as me. But there's also somebody I saw who changed their jersey number that I feel like you could have here at 11.
Yeah, I mean, he has not retired yet. That's a fact. And if he's not retiring now, I don't think he's going to retire this season. So I got Larry Fitzgerald at number 11 here. Larry Legend. I think he's number 2 on the all-time receiving yards list. So if he's still in the league, I got Larry Legend very deservingly at number 11 here. And my honorable mention is A.J. Brown in Tennessee. So I don't know if you have something similar to that, but if not, let's hear it.
Yeah, mine is literally the exact same, just reversed. I have A.J. Brown as my 11, just because, like you said, we don't know the exact situation and status of Larry Fitzgerald right now. So I do have A.J. Brown as my 11 selection and then Larry Fitzgerald as my honorable mention selection, because there's no denying Fitzgerald here at 11.
That's fair. Yeah, we don't know. But, yeah, if he is, I think you'll put him there as well as I am at number 11. But, yeah, we don't know yet. So A.J. Brown, I'll allow you to have him at 11. That makes sense. It makes total sense.
Yeah, and 12. 12 is definitely an interesting one because there's obviously two clear-cut guys here at 12. And it's hard, you know, to not say one of them.
Yeah.
But he's not it because the GOAT Tom Brady wears number 12.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you have to, just because he is still playing, put him here at 12. But if, you know, we're going off of my positional value right now at the position of quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, who also wears 12, brings more value to the number 12. And then an honorable mention I have here who brings another value to his position of wide receiver is Allen Robinson.
Okay, yeah, I like the A-Rob pick. I was thinking of putting him in somewhere. I forgot he was wearing 12, but I would have put him I thought he might have been like 16 or something. I would have put him maybe at 16. But, yeah, I can't go against Brady being here, the only guy with 7 rings, the absolute GOAT of football. I know Rodgers is considered the GOAT in some people's eyes, but it's kind of hard for people to consider him the GOAT now with Brady having 7 rings. But, yeah, talent-wise, I guess Aaron Rodgers could be more valuable. He's a little younger. He can be more valuable to a team at this age. But, you know, as long as Tom Brady's in the league and wearing a helmet and pads, I got to put him at 12. But, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is my honorable mention there for sure.
Yeah. And 13, 14. 13, sometimes a quarterback number. 14 sometimes a quarterback number, but in this case scenario, I have wide receivers for both, and I actually have 7 names between the two numbers.
Awesome. Okay, let's hear it.
So, and I could not pick one, really, yeah, for either one of them because it's really not easy.
It's hard, yeah.
So at 13, I have Mike Evans, Odell Beckham Jr., Keenan Allen, and Michael Thomas.
Those are the exact same 4 I have.
Because it's really interchangeable based on the season.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, 100% it's Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah.
Well, more like 4 years ago, 100% it's Odell Beckham Jr. A couple years ago, 100% Michael Thomas. This past season, Keenan Allen. Another season, it was Mike Evans.
Yeah.
Mike Evans has also been one of the most consistent wide receivers for such a long time. I think he's had like 1,000 receiving yards like 5 straight years or something like that.
I think every year he's been in the NFL, I think he's been over 1,000, which is nuts.
Yeah. But it's just, you know, it's because James Winston has so many receiving
yards. Yeah,
sure. And then at 14, the 3 I have at 14 are Stephon Diggs, Chris Godwin, and DK Metcalf. Again,
same.
Interchangeable this year, clearly is Stephon Diggs. You know, last year it could have been Godwin or DK Metcalf, really interchangeable between the 3 as well. So it's really just hard, you know, for between those 3, I think, to give a definitive one. But I think at this moment in time, I can comfortably say I would give Stephon Diggs a little bit of the edge.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I can't argue with you at all. I mean, I had the same guys for 13. I had the same 3 guys for 14 as well. You're right. Maybe the order year in, year out may be a little different. But yeah, I definitely had. Who'd you have headlining the 13? I had Mike Evans for the last year.
If I'm going off last year, I would say Keenan Allen.
Okay, so you had Keenan, and I had Mike headlining 13. 14, we both had Stephon Diggs headlining that one. Yeah, we both had the same honorable mentions there, DK and Godwin for 14. So I really can't argue with your thought process there. We kind of found the same 7 guys, you know, as anyone probably should. But yeah, very talented receivers wearing 13 and 14 in the NFL right now. So that's kind of cool.
Number 15, there's only 2 words that are needed here, and they are Patrick and Mahomes.
Yep.
That's it. No need to say anything else here. Yep. Didn't even bother to look for any other names.
I didn't either.
16 is an interesting one. We talked about this before the show. This is the same question of 11 where I believe we have our honorable mention and our selection flip-flopped.
Yeah.
So for me, my selection was first overall pick Trevor Lawrence, who will be wearing 16 just like he did at Clemson. I again, just taking a reach here, you know, based off 1 through 10, I like to have some fun with these picks. And then my honorable mention, which is your number 1 pick, which is
Tyler Lockett.
Which, obviously, you know, I know you don't love to say, obviously, with him being a Seahawk, and I know you're not really that big of a fan of the guy, but he has been one of the most consistent wide receivers for quite some time now. He is my honorable mention, like I mentioned. But really, you know, hard to deny that Tyler Lockett doesn't deserve to be at the conversation here at 16.
Yeah, you know, at 16, I actually have Jared Goff. No, I got Tyler Lockett as well. Very talented receiver in Seattle. Just very complimentary of DK, what they're doing up there with their receivers. But yeah, I got Trevor Lawrence in my honorable mention too, which is kind of crazy. You know, a rookie, that's just how highly thought of he is, and the expectations for him are really high. So he is to be an honorable mention on the top player by number before even taking a snap. You know, that's a pretty good accomplishment for Trevor Lawrence. So clap it up for him. Yeah, but he is in my honorable mention for sure. But yeah, I got Tyler Lockett at the headliner there.
And 17 was another interesting one. I actually did not come to a final decision on mine because I could not.
Okay.
Because my 2 here are Josh Allen and Davante Adams, both of which arguably top 3 at their position. Obviously, Davante Adams solidified top 3 at his position. Josh Allen, you can make the argument. I actually fully believe Josh Allen will be the number 1 fantasy quarterback this year.
Whoa, bomb. Austin bomb. Let's go.
Yeah, throw it down there. And I said that a while ago in a little podcast interview type thing I did for an internship I didn't do because I wanted to do this podcast instead.
Let's
so how about them apples? But I feel like, you know, it was hard for me to pick between the two. I really do like Josh Allen. I just saw an interview recently about him with the Fresno State story him getting rejected from there, obviously being a hometown kid, and how he still hates Fresno State now with a burning passion.
That's funny, yeah. And he went to, like, all the games and, like, knew all the players and on the Fresno State team as a kid. It was just nuts, and they didn't even give him an offer. Now he's laughing at him. So, yeah, that's definitely funny.
And I also saw that Wyoming finally got to play Fresno State in his senior year. but he was hurt that game.
Yes.
And they lost. And so it's one of his biggest regrets in his career was not being able to play in that game and beat Fresno State. But
it's got to be some motivation.
If I had to guess, I would say Davante Adams is your guy here at 17.
Yeah, I got Davante Adams at 17, but I do have Josh Allen as my number one honorable mention for all the reasons you said. But yeah, Davante Adams really kind of separated himself last year as the wide receiver one. And I know he's got Rodgers throwing to him, who he may not have next year. We don't know that still yet, but what they were able to do together last year was incredible. Davante Adams had unreal numbers. This is the best route runner in the league, no question about it. Keenan Allen might be number two there, but he's incredible. This is a guy that's been with Green Bay and really came into his own in these last few years. Whether that's because of Rodgers or not, it's your decision. He's a very talented receiver and a guy that went to Fresno State, right?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. A little ironic we have a Fresno State boy and Davante Adams.
And I want to be Fresno State boy.
Yeah, and it was real interesting because Davante Adams did recently come out and say he wanted to reunite with his former Fresno State quarterback, Derek Carr, at some point. That's definitely something that's interesting to look out for. But here at 18, I'm curious to see who you have here at 18 because I really struggled to find a name just because of how long the list is. But yeah. I did have a clear cut for 18, but I'm curious to see who you have here at 18.
Yeah, 18 is definitely intriguing. But I just want to give a shout out to three guys on 17. Show them some love too. Terry McLaurin, Ryan Tannehill, and even Jalen Waddle. I'll show you some love. Maybe you can take that 17 in the future years. I just wanted to shout them out. Great number, great players. So, yeah, 18, I got Justin Jefferson. I know you may not have him. I don't know if you may have him. You may have Calvin Ridley, who I have at 2. But I think Justin Jefferson, based on sample size of what he's done in his first year, deserves it right now at 18. I think he's the best player to wear 18 in the league right now.
Yeah, no, I put Justin Jefferson, too. 18 was just like a weird number. I 18 was one of the numbers within here who I struggled just to think of a name off the bat. A lot of these I just thought of, right away. I'm like, oh, this guy. But 18 was definitely one I struggled with. I didn't even notice Calvin Ridley's name on the list, but he would definitely be my honorable mention one as well here. Yeah. But I think it's hard to deny that Justin Jefferson would be here at 18. 19 is another one where I have multiple names.
Okay.
Because it is interchangeable based on the year.
Yeah.
Because it is three wide receivers once again.
Yep, same.
And for me, top of that list, with a little bias included.
I knew it. Yep, let's hear it.
Kenny Golladay, new wide receiver of my New York Giants. And then I also have Adam Thielen as well as Juju Smith-Schuster. Again, really just based on the year between the three of those, who's the top of that list. Kenny Golladay led the league in touchdowns, I want to say 2 years ago. It might have been Marvin Jones Jr., but I know like the two of them like were the two top tight end, touchdown scorers with Matthew Stafford at quarterback in Detroit a couple years ago. And then obviously Adam Thielen has been one of the most consistent undrafted free agents in the history of football. Again, a little drop for you again. And then Juju Smith-Schuster, I had to include even though he had a terrible season last year.
Yeah, I have Thielen at 19. I know you have him at number 2. I have Golladay at number 2, so interchangeable there. But I didn't even have – I didn't even put Juju as my honorable mention. I saw him there, but I think I just gave the edge to Amari Cooper. I just feel like he's a little better. We both don't – I'm not the biggest fans of Juju. I think that Amari Cooper is – I'll call him the wide receiver one in Dallas – with Dax, one of Dax's favorite targets, but I think he's been having a good career in Dallas after that Oakland trade. So I got him as my honorable mention instead of Juju. But again, I saw Juju. I probably would have put him there if I put a third one. But yeah, it all kind of depends on the year with these guys. Just every year the receivers kind of just are very interchangeable. So yeah, I got Adam Thielen at 1, Golladay at 2. I know you have the reverse, so.
Yeah, and Amari Cooper is a guy who's on Austin's permanent hate list, not just because he's a Cowboy.
Is that why he's not there?
No, I honestly just didn't even notice him when I was looking at 19. But for just a little bit on that, with him when he was a Raider, I drafted him in fantasy multiple times, and he was just so bad. And then there was one year, I don't know if you remember this, you traded me Amari Cooper and somebody else for Todd Gurley. And it was the year after Gurley had his terrible year, then came back and had a great year. And I don't remember who you traded me Cooper with, but I lost the deal by a landslide in the long run.
Yeah.
And so forever, Amari Cooper's been on my hate list, and then he became a Cowboy, so I just hated him even more now. But just a little personal vendetta
that
there
was
with
me?
Cooper. Yeah, we made that trade.
I forgot that happened. Yeah, that was 2016 after Gurley had, like, the terrible year, and then he had, like, an MVP-type season in 2017. So what week did I trade you in? Do you remember?
I think it might have been, like, it was either very early in the season or before the season even started, like, in between our draft and week one. But it's something that I literally just popped in my head right now. I've had a personal vendetta against Amari Cooper just based on how he performed for me in fantasy as a Raider. But we moved to 20 here, and 20 for me was the hardest decision of them all.
Same.
Because I literally could not find anybody. I said to Nick before the podcast, I almost put Julian Love of the Giants here, who's like, are like CB5 or something, just because I struggled so much to find somebody.
So who'd you go with?
I settled with Marcus May,
okay,
of the New York Jets, one of the best safeties in the league right now. And it was really just hard because Jalen Ramsey doesn't wear 20 anymore.
Yeah, I know. It'd be an easy decision if Ramsey was in 20, but he's in 5 now, and so we put him at 5 last episode. And if you didn't listen already, go ahead and listen to that one. But, yeah, I got Marcus May at 2, and like you said, he is a very impressive safety in the league and probably the highlight of that Jets franchise right now. If it's not Zach Wilson, it's Marcus May on that defensive side of the ball. But I don't know. I gave it to Tony Pollard based on the year he had last year. Kind of took the spotlight away from Zeke, who kind of had a struggling season last year. But you know, Zeke gets back to being the Zeke we all know. This could be a pretty lethal running back duo. And you know, Pollard kind of is a change of pace back to the power that Zeke brings. He's pretty elusive and quick. And he just really had a good season last year. So 20 was hard. So I think that I just gave it to Pollard and Marcus May at 2. And honorable mentions, another rookie, Greg Newsome. He's wearing 20. So I'll put him here. And Zach Moss, running back for the Bills, had a decent season. So, you know.
Year 2, yeah.
Yeah, so I'll put those two as my honorable mentions.
Yeah, and I almost put Pollard at 20 before I remembered who Marcus May was.
Yeah.
Because I just couldn't put his name to his face, so I had to look it up real quick. You're definitely right with your point made with Pollard. I've actually seen a lot of Cowboys fans actually say they prefer Pollard as their running back over Zeke now at this point, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But I think it's definitely fair to put Pollard there after the season he had. But this will take us into our new favorite weekly segment, which is our head versus head here. Nick evened up the series at 1 last week, which means I have the honors of picking my team first this week. Just to run down how that works for those of you who may be listening for the first time or those of you who just have forgotten. We will be given a team and we will assign a player or just the entire team to a defense in the situation, and we will fill a roster of QB, running back, 2 wide receivers, a tight end, offensive line, and a defense.
All right, so I don't remember who went first last week, do you?
You did.
Okay, so you're up. So I'm spinning the wheel for you, and you land on Buffalo Bills with the first. It's a good pick.
Oh, this is tough. This is a tough one.
Yeah, QB or wide receiver?
I'm going to lock up QB, get Josh Allen early.
Okay, passing on your boy Diggs. That's probably hard for you to do.
It was a very tough decision.
I would imagine. Okay, let me just spin this thing again. See who we get for Austin's second pick. And we are landing on the New York Jets. That's tough.
I'm going to take their offensive line.
Okay.
Because it's not bad at all. And I'll take a little Mekhi Becton to protect Josh Allen.
I don't know who else you can take. So, yeah, it's a safe pick,
yeah.
I guess.
I could have taken who just signed with them? Corey Davis signed with the Jets.
Yeah, I think he did, yeah.
Yeah, I could have taken Corey Davis there.
Yeah. Okay, so you're back. You're back with the powerhouses. You get the Buccaneers at the third pick.
I'll double down on the Bucs defense here. Bucs defense won me week 1, so okay. I'll double down on the Bucs defense.
Sticking to
all 11 starters from the Super Bowl.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point. Spin it again, and you get the Niners.
Bang bang Niner gang. I want to say I might have had George Kittle week 1 too, so I'll double down on Kittle again.
I think you did. Team looking strong. Kind of getting scared sitting over here. Spinning it again for you, and you land on the Detroit Lions. This is like very reminiscent of your week 1 team. I think you got the Lions line.
Yeah, they were my last pick for their O-line. I'm going to go with DeAndre Swift here as my running back.
Okay.
He He had a decent rookie season last year.
Yes, he did. All right, so I'm spinning it again here. And you land on the Houston Texans.
Brandon Cooks.
Okay.
That gives me one wide receiver left to wrap up the team.
So we're spinning the wheel.
I had Brandon Cooks week one, too.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. So whoever this wheel lands on, Austin is taking a receiver from. And it's the Dallas Cowboys, a team with some pretty good receivers.
How about them Cowboys?
Who you taking?
Brandon Cooks. You know, just for, you know, I Brandon Cooks is going to be that slot guy for Josh Allen here. Amari Cooper, a deep threat. But yeah. I'm going to go a little CeeDee Lamb here.
Okay.
He's got even more speed.
Kind of thought you would.
And he's going to be the deep threat here. So that rounds out my team, which is Josh Allen as my quarterback. Can't complain with that.
Yep.
DeAndre Swift as my running back. Can be better, but not going to complain. Wide receiver corps, Brandon Cooks and CeeDee Lamb. Tight end of George Kittle. Offensive line of the Jets, 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 Jets.
Yep.
And the defense of the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That's, you know, that's a strong team.
It's not bad.
I think it's better than your team last week.
Definitely. I think my team last week might be the worst in the entire series when we finish things out.
Yeah, maybe. You never know with this wheel. Maybe it can give us just a totally terrible team. But, yeah, that's a strong team.
All right. We'll see how things play out for you this week.
All right. I got to show up big today. All right. Spinning the wheel. All right, I get the Saints at the first pick, and Alvin Kamara was the guy that was headlining my team last week, and that kind of was a sign I need to take him again. So I'm going to get my running back locked in here and bring back Alvin for the second week in a row.
And double down.
I'm a big fan of that. So let me spin this thing again. Hopefully I can continue this trend.
Come on, Garbo team.
And I'm landing on
Houston Texans.
The Los Angeles Chargers. Okay, this is interesting.
You couple guys you can go here.
Yeah, I can go Herbert. I can go Keenan Allen. Defense is nice, too.
Yeah.
Do I want to save quarterback?
Not a terrible O-line either.
You're right, yeah. The question is, do I want to save quarterback or just take Herbert now? You had Herbert last week, right?
No, I had Trevor Lawrence last week.
Okay.
I might have had Herbert week one.
All right. I'm taking Herbo. I'm taking Herbsky. J Herbo, yeah.
Herbsky.
Gotta get my quarterback.
I've never had Herbert. I was wrong. I had Dak week one.
Okay. So I'm locking in there with Herbert. Herbsky. Looking up second year.
Yeah.
All right. And I'm spinning, and I get the Miami Dolphins.
Ooh. Interesting one.
Very interesting. I'm not taking Tua, obviously, even if I didn't have a quarterback. Receivers,
tight end.
They have a good defense, too.
They do have a pretty solid defense.
So Mike Gesicki defense, or maybe like a Jalen Waddle?
Jalen Waddle.
Jeez, this is actually tough.
Will Fuller the fifth?
Yeah, or Will Fuller five. I'm going to go, yeah, Miami defense just gave my team the smoke last year, so I got to go their defense just in honor of that.
All right, little Finn's defense.
Yeah, they just tore Goff apart, so I'm taking them as my defense. You know, I like that pick. They have a good defense, so spinning again, and I get the Las Vegas Raiders. All right, no tight end, right?
No tight end.
All right, that locks it in. I'm taking Darren Waller.
We now have the same tight ends as week one.
Okay, look at that. You never know what you're going to get on the podcast. Look at that little continuity. That's even a word. I don't even know what I just said. I'm resuming. I'm spinning the wheel. And what do I got left?
Double wide receiver in your O-line.
O-line and two receivers. Okay, so I get the Houston Texans. So
Brandon Cooks with me.
I guess I got to do with you and just get Brandon Cooks there with you. So
that's the same wide receiver one over here.
So that kind of cancels us out there at one position. So makes it a little more interesting at the end when we're comparing. So receiver and O-line for me. And I'm landing on the New England Patriots.
Ooh.
So I'm going to take their O-line.
Yeah. They definitely have a very solid O-line.
They're playing for receiver right now. They got N'Keal Harry, who we just talked about. Yeah. And, you know, and I guess they got Nelson Aguilar now. And
Jacoby Myers.
Yeah. So not really guys I want to take there. So
wide receiver two is your last position, just like mine.
Okay. Spinning the wheel. Big spin here. Give me something good. I'm getting the Jets. Okay, I can take Corey Davis, though.
Corey Davis,
yeah. I'll get Corey Davis.
Yeah.
Okay. So read off my team there real quick.
You got Justin Herbert at quarterback.
Okay.
Alvin Kamara at running back. Brandon Cooks and Corey Davis at wide receiver, Darren Waller at tight end, okay. the New England Patriots offensive line,
okay.
and the Miami Dolphins defense.
All right, now let's compare them. Let's go down the line right here. Let's see who's going to win this.
So, quarterback. It's an interesting one.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I have a slight edge right now with Josh Allen over Justin Herbert.
I think so, too.
There's a slight edge there.
Yeah, we'll give you that.
Running back, we don't need to worry about discussing because you have Alvin Kamara, okay. I have DeAndre Swift.
It's 1-1.
Wide receiver is an interesting one because we both have Brandon Cooks, which cancels out.
Okay.
And then there's Corey Davis and CeeDee Lamb, which I feel like almost very similar wide receivers.
Yeah.
I think it really depends on who you ask in terms of who people think are better. Obviously, CeeDee Lamb was really good with Dak Prescott as his quarterback, and he really did have decent numbers with Andy Dalton and Ben DiNucci at wide receiver.
Yeah.
But then Corey Davis had a great season last year with the Titans, which led him to getting, you know, a decent sized deal to become the wide receiver one in New York for the Jets.
Okay.
So it's definitely tight there too.
I think I'll give you it because considering that my guy was not re-signed
and he's on the Jets.
Yeah, and he's on the Jets. So we'll throw all that into play, and I'll throw the fact that CD is a very impressive looking rookie. He had a great first season. It was a pretty Corey Davis was a higher pick than him actually, but still a first round pick. I think I feel fine giving you the edge with CD Lamb. I think I'd rather have CD Lamb as well. So I'll give you the edge there. So you're up 2-1 right now. Okay, so we got
tight end. I don't know what we did week one when we had Kittle Waller. I'll look what we did right now. I have it in front of me.
I think we might have given it to you.
I think we called it a tie.
Okay, so we.
But there's a little bit of a gap between Kittle and Waller, but you know I feel like it's hard. But I think, you know, in my opinion, I think Kittle does have a little bit of the edge.
Yeah.
But it's definitely up for conversation.
I think I'm fine giving you Kittle as well.
All right.
So you're up 3-1.
O-line, Pat's O-line, definitely better than the Jets' O-line.
Okay. So finishes 3-2?
3-2. And then we get the defense.
Okay, yeah.
Bucks versus the Dolphins. Both really good defenses, but I think it's the Bucks there.
Bucks for sure. Yeah.
So I think this is a Austin and seven series.
Yeah,
once
I was
gonna
say this could go six or seven games, but yeah, I think Austin and six or seven for sure. So,
which gives me the 2-1 lead overall in the series.
Yeah, you took the 2-1 lead on me. Damn, I gotta just come back stronger. I'm playing from behind right now. I just gotta just answer you, make sure and answer you every
week.
We're
just gonna keep going back and forth here, just keep battling it out.
That was definitely, I want to say, that was the most interesting week we've had though. There were some pretty interesting picks for the teams we were getting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that came down to the wire there. So, yeah.
I would just love next week for neither of us to have Brandon Cooks because this is like, I think we might have had Brandon Cooks in both of our teams every single week at some point.
He just likes to show up.
But he likes to pop up. He just keeps lingering.
B. Cooks.
But with that being said, we are getting to the end of the episode. We did just surpass the hour mark, which means it's time for our weekly hot takes.
Let's go.
Which I spent a lot of time on my hot take this week.
Okay.
Because I wanted to switch sides of the football. I went offense the first 2 weeks of weekly hot takes.
Yeah.
And so I want to go defense on this one. Yourself said you were pretty excited about your hot take as well.
Yeah.
And so I don't remember who went first on hot takes last week. I want to say you went first with your Kyle Pitts breaking the record hot take, if I'm not mistaken.
I think I might have, but if you have something absolutely incredible brewing up and you want to go second and just finish this off, that's up to you. But if you, whatever you want.
I'll go second if you want me to go second. It doesn't really matter. I'll pass the torch to you, let you go first with your hot take. So let's hear it.
All right, so my hot take, this is another offensive hot take and actually another rookie hot take. So week one, the Chicago Bears, if you didn't know, we're coming to Los Angeles, coming to Inglewood, and we'll be playing the Rams in SoFi. You know, first game in SoFi. It's going to be a sold-out crowd. It's going to be exciting. We know that the Bears gave Andy Dalton a one-year, $10 million deal this offseason, which led Bears fans before the draft to believe this was going to be their QB this year. Not too excited about that. I know a lot of Bears fans weren't. Then comes April, late April. The Bears trade up. They draft Justin Fields. And this is a guy that Bears fans are absolutely ecstatic about. They can't believe they got him. I know a bunch of Bears fans that already have jerseys. Anyways, the Bears have said that Andy Dalton is their QB1. And it's kind of hard for me to believe this. So my hot take is that Justin Fields starts week one against the Rams in SoFi in a hostile environment opposite side of Aaron Donald. And he leads the division in passing yards. And this is a hot take because people really don't think Justin Fields will see the field until, you know, weeks down the line here. So I think that Justin Fields is really turning heads at camp right now, is really being a leader, just saying all the right things, doing all the right things. And I think that Nagy has to give him the go to be their starting quarterback from the get-go. And I think that's what is right for the team. And, you know, as a Rams fan, I'm excited. I'm excited to see Justin Fields week one if this does happen. It'll be, boy, will it be a test for him. Rams have an incredible defense, but I think that he is going to get that start for week one. And then the second part, again, we don't know what's going on with Rodgers. I think that Justin Fields is pretty capable of winning that passing yard title in the division with Jared Goff and Kirk Cousins there as well. So, that's my hot take for the week. You agree with me or what?
You know, it's really interesting just because, like you said, Nagy said the Red Rocket Andy Dalton's going to be their starter week one, which, you know, like you said, Bears fans aren't happy about. Andy Dalton really wasn't terrible for the Cowboys last year as their backup and then coming in to replace Dak once Dak had the season-ending injury. So, you know, I personally haven't like read into too much about Bears camp news. Obviously, you know, Bears fans want Justin Fields to start. The Bears traded up to 11 with my Giants to be able to get Justin Fields there at 11. So I totally could see Justin Fields starting week one, but I think Matt Nagy might stick to his word and keep Andy Dalton in there at week one.
Yeah.
I mean, things could get really ugly really fast for them, and Justin Fields could come in during week one.
Yeah.
But I think it is very possible that, you know, if Aaron Rodgers isn't playing like he seemed to be hinting at during the match with Bryson DeChambeau and then Brady and Phil Mickelson yesterday, that it's definitely possible that Justin Fields could lead the NFC North in passing yards this year.
Yeah, and training camp is that time of the year when a lot of questions are answered with your roster and depth chart. And just the fact that he's turning heads like this in minicamp and OTAs, I think they can really just magnify that and just really solidify that he deserves to be in that top spot. You know, maybe the Bears are saying all this stuff about Andy Dalton being QB1 just to kind of motivate him and push him even farther, as if a draft pick doesn't have as much motivation already. I'm sure that he's already fired up and doing all that he can to win that job. But, you know, yeah, I think that's just my hot take. I think Justin Fields starts week one, and that'll be fun to see. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in training camp. But I think that's a time when he could really kind of steal the spotlight there.
Yeah, and it's definitely something that's going to be really interesting. Again, just literally another case scenario of we won't know until time says so. But like I mentioned, I did go defensive side of the football, and my reasoning behind my prediction is we're playing an extra week of football this year, which is just asking for a record to be broken.
Yes, we are.
And mine is in terms of total tackles single season.
Okay.
Currently, the total tackle record for a single season is 174, which is held by both Jerod Mayo and Patrick Willis.
Okay.
And I think that not only will Bobby Wagner, but also Blake Martinez and Darius Leonard will all surpass the 174 total tackle mark next year, with one of them obviously standing on top as the new NFL tackles leader. Not too sure who's it's going to be. Obviously, I'd like to see it be Blake Martinez.
Okay. I was going to say, I might need a guess, but let's hear it.
I do think all three of them will break the single season tackle record next year.
That is very hot. That's That's an incredible take from Austin, actually. I mean, wait, so who did you say was going to be the headliner? Who's going to have the most?
I'll go Blake Martinez. Blake okay. Martinez had the most tackles out of the three of them last year at 151.
Okay.
Bobby Wagner had 138, and Darius Leonard had 132, but Darius Leonard did only play in 14 games. He didn't play in all 16. So that's just, you know, another little thing to kind of mention. But this was also kind of inspired off of a post I saw Blake Martinez make when the 17-game season was announced. It was either an Instagram post or a tweet, and he tagged Darius Leonard and Bobby Wagner and saying 200 tackles.
Damn. Yeah, I mean, 17 games, it opens the door for a lot of tackles like that. But
yeah, 200 is a lot.
Yeah, 200
might
be a lot.
That's asking for more than 10 tackles a game.
Yeah.
Total tackles, for those who don't know, is solo tackles and assisted tackles combined. You know, so it's really tough. Zach Cunningham of the Houston Texans was the only person who had over 100 solo tackles last year.
That's nuts, actually.
Which is pretty crazy. Jalen Smith was second in terms of total tackles. Obviously, Zach Cunningham was one. Blake Martinez was third on the list overall. But I just think, you know, it's got to be somewhere a record's broken with an extra game this season. I think, you know, it would be cool to see Aaron Donald finally break Michael Strahan's 22.5 single season sack record, but it's also Aaron Donald, and he gets doubled and triple teamed more than anybody else in the freaking world.
Yeah.
So I think it might be hard to do that. And you know, interceptions don't come as often as they do, as they used to. So I feel like single season interceptions might be hard to break.
Yeah.
But I wanted to find, you know, something that was breakable, and attainable. And I feel like, you know, for Blake Martinez, 24 total more tackles is definitely something that could be possible for him.
Yeah, he's going to have to make up ground in other games and then as well with the extra game as well, yeah.
But I definitely think, you know, it's something that could happen for all three of those guys. There's plenty of other guys, you know, that I think it could happen for too, but those were just the three guys that kind of popped into my mind. Could definitely happen for a guy like Devin White in Tampa Bay or Roquan Smith in Chicago.
100%, yeah.
But those were the three that came to my mind that I think could break the single season record, and I really hope it's Blake Martinez who does it, because Blake Martinez has led the league in tackles in the last 4 years. So
yeah, I didn't realize we're just kind of put those together that a lot of records are going to be probably broken next year with this extra game. So tackles is a pretty, you know, not a realistic one, but one that I can see being broken by those, you know, those top middle linebackers, and interceptions as well, like you said. A little history lesson right now for those of you that don't know. The record for most interceptions in a single season is held by Night Train Lane of the Los Angeles Rams in 1952. As a rookie, this man had 14 interceptions in a season. But yeah, I mean, with another game, we see guys like J.C. Jackson and Xavier Howard going over 10. Who knows? Maybe that could be broken as well. But yeah, a lot of records are gonna be broken this year. I would assume that the passing yards, 17 games is a new thing now. So I think the passing yards record, set by Peyton Manning right now, is gonna be probably broken in the next year or two. All these records are gonna be probably broken because there is an extra game, like we said. But yeah. Coming off the gate there, Austin is predicting that Blake Martinez, Bobby Wagner, and who's the third one?
Darius Leonard.
Are going to go over that record of 174 right now. But yeah, that'd be incredible to see, and I think it's gonna push these guys. It's gonna motivate these guys to break these records, knowing that there's an extra game. So it's gonna be some high level football being played. It's gonna be really exciting.
Yeah. So there you have it again. Hot takes by myself and Nick. And this will take us to the end of the episode. We are a little bit past that hour mark once again, and you guys know the rules around here. We don't like to go too heavily over that hour mark.
Yep.
But, you know, we got to catch up on some interesting NFL news. Trevor Lawrence signing his rookie deal. Cowboys being announced as the Hard Knock teams this year. Josh Gordon looking to come back to the NFL once again. N'Keal Harry asking for a trade just after 2 years in the NFL. We ranked numbers 11 through 20, which means next week will be 21 through 30.
A lot of running backs, I'm sure, and DBs.
Yeah, I went up 2-1 in the series of picking our team, and we had our first installment of the question of the week.
Yes, we did.
So thank you guys for tuning in once again. We appreciate all the support. We'll be back once again. Episodes drop every single Friday. And thank you guys for tuning in. And for those of you who don't know, platforms you can find us on are?
Yeah, I mean, we're anywhere you find your podcasts at this point. Whatever you get your podcasts, we're there. So if we're not, let us know and we'll get there. But we should be on every platform that you get your podcasts from. But yeah, we are on about 12 platforms right now. I've listed them every time. But yeah, wherever you get your podcasts, you can expect to find the UDFA pod, which is incredible. Austin and I are very appreciative of that. So yeah, that's just, it's incredible. So we're loving it and we're going to keep going.
Thank you guys for tuning on in to yet again another episode. And we'll pass things off to Spencer to take us on out of here.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Undrafted Free Agents Podcast. Be sure to follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at UDFAPod. That's at UDFAPod to stay up to date with the podcast. Until next time, just remember, you don't always need to be drafted to be successful.